Listen.
Yeah.
you're a star beating in my heart. You put it there, every broken part. You redeemed it all, raised me back to life. You took me there, I've seen amazing grace, and I'll never be the same.
Thank you. delivered. Delivered. I think I'll play that one more time. Thank you, Jessica, for posting those words. Listen to this. I've been delivered. Think about that. Think about that.
I've been delivered. I've been delivered. In my darkest dark. And you heard my call from the deepest depth. You found me there. I've seen amazing grace, and I'll never be the same.
Never be that same.
Praise God. How you feeling this morning? I woke up feeling really, really good this morning. My body is responding to the word of God. So you say, well, you know, what does that mean, Erica? I always look for my body to respond to the word of God. Don't you? Don't you? Those of you that got those 3x5 cards, no, I have not given, stop with the 3x5 cards. I haven't done that. I was just trying to find a way where everybody could get them. So I would like to think and hope that you've been making a note of the scriptures that I've been going through and that you've been saving them on your own. That would be wisdom. That would be wisdom. Now, I want you to listen to this song. And it speaks about the promises. You see, one thing I learned about even being on this internet, worship, I can't quite explain it, but there is something very godly in music, and especially if the music is God-inspired and brings you into more knowledge or more understanding of God. Music, it's like, I don't know. I think the person that says it the most and explains it would have to be Jensen Franklin. And he built that church on worshiping God and worshipers. And now he got churches all over the world. And it started because one man in him, and he happens to be a saxophone player. I remember when he was real, real young, plays the saxophone. But you know what, brothers and sisters? Make sure you put this on your cards. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Make sure you put that on your 3x5 cards. I just printed out what God had gave me this morning. Proverbs 20:27. Uh-oh. Okay. I'm not going to touch anything. The spirit of man, I want to make sure this microphone is on here. It is. The spirit of man, it's the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, this is what this means. This means that God is intending on using your own regenerated spirit to guide you. That's why deliverance is so important. God's whole plan was to use your own regenerated spirit to guide you. That's why you must be born again. That's why it is important that you be delivered. Because God's original plan was always to use your own human spirit, regenerated by his Holy Spirit, making you into a new man or a new woman. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You got that? God never intended to go outside of you for nothing other than to facilitate or have someone be used to facilitate to help him and his capacity grow in you and mature. That's why it's important that you mature in Christ. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That's why when we first kind of went, started out on this next level, if you recall, yeah, I started playing this song right here.
Of the hero in you, listen to your inner man.
And then God started looking around. And what he found on the inside of a whole bunch of you was defilement. And for lack of a better word, you need to be cleaned up. You need to be cleaned up. And that's why he sent you to me, because I have that anointing of the cleanup woman to clean you up. Though your sins be as scarlet, he will make you whiter than snow. And that's when the big battle began, because you began to fight the inside cleanup that God was trying to clean you up, so that your temple was fit for him to dwell in. Well, see, he ain't going to dwell in no unclean temple. It's not going to happen. And he saw all this stuff. He saw all this garbage. All these. And you know what he saw? He saw hidden works. He saw hidden garbage in you that you were swearing wasn't there. That everything the devil was telling you is, you're great, you're in good shape, but you see, the Bible say the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And God kept overriding that garbage the devil was telling you. You are right. I did a miracle in you. It couldn't be nothing wrong with you. Well, you know what? He did a miracle in Judas too, and Judas betrayed him. That was all part of God's purpose. And that was all part of God's plan. So then we progressed on to Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law. Make sure you put this on your cards. On your 3x5 cards. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1 and 8 says, God is saying, when you meditate in my word, I'm going to lead you and guide you in such a way that you'll be able to deal wisely in the things of this life. I'm going to, once I clean you up and fill you with more of me, I'm going to make you a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And man, all your demons went crazy then. Oh, no. This is my worst nightmare come true. That's what the demon said. And I'm sure that the angels of God were there looking and watching and observing and wondering, why were you fighting so hard against God making you more in his image? Why are they fighting so hard when God is trying to do what he told them he was going to do from the beginning, that he was going to make them in his image and according to his God, Jesus, Holy Spirit likeness? Why are they fighting so hard? Why don't they want to practice the word of God, which is found in James 1 and 22? Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see, God has a plan God has steps to bring you closer to him. God has strategy. The devil got strategy, but the devil's strategy cannot begin. It cannot begin because, number one, the devil can't understand God's strategies, but God knows his because he's his creator. The same way God is your creator, he created that devil. He didn't create him, the devil. He created him, Lucifer. Lucifer turned himself into the devil. Are you with me this morning? So then God said, God began this practice. He said he's going to teach you how to live the word, how to practice the word. In other words, God in his infinite wisdom and his wonderful plan for your life was going to make you a what? A living doer of his own word. And you know what? Some people think that being a doer of the word is like keeping the Ten Commandments. Under the new covenant, I say under the new covenant enacted by the attestation of Jesus' death, under the new covenant, you only have one commandment. I call it the 11th and the 12th. Under the new covenant, it's a covenant of love. You see, if you love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you love somebody, you won't lie about them. And then the Apostle Paul said that love is the fulfilling of the law. You see, if you walk in love, if you talk in love, if you survive and exist in love, you won't break any law that God gave you to quell sin. And as you put down sin and build up in Christ, as you put down sin, you build up in love. Now, the devil tricks some of you into thinking that eros love, physical love, sexual love was love. Nope. God has to rechange your understanding. And he had to let you know that the kind of love that he was building in you would be unconditional, that you would love without expecting something back, that you would love just because he is love. Praise God. So then he went on and started building you up because he had to get you to a point where you were thankful to him, where you were thankful to him, where you were grateful to him, and where you would worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And all the while he's doing this, he's cleaning you up. He's getting rid of everything out of you that doesn't honor him. Because he said that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it's going to be to the glory and the honor of God the Father. And knowing this, God already knew that he had a plan, that he had a purpose, that he had a destiny for your life. And God, make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, God is a just God, and God won't ask you to do something that you can't do. But God also knew he had to keep scrubbing you, keep cleaning you up, keep getting everything out of you that does not honor him. Because everything in you that does not honor him keeps you out of peace, keeps you out of his shalom. And he knows without that peace of God, which passes our understanding, that keeps your hearts and your minds, and it only comes through Christ Jesus. He had to get you to the point where you're careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to him, you will make your requests known unto God. And then, because he's got you to the place where he told you, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. And you won't let them depart from your eyes. And you'll keep them in the midst of your heart. Because they are life unto those that find them. And health to all their flesh. What you talking about, Erica? Simple. You being delivered.
Darkest hour in my desperate place, where I least expect, you found me there. Oh, you broke my fall and you heard my call from the deepest depth. You found me there. I've seen amazing grace, and I'll never be the same.
What God does, see, he gives you a taste of freedom when he delivers you of one thing. Then he goes to the next highest thing, gives you a greater taste of freedom. Then he delivers you from something else, and you start saying, oh, man, I think I like this. I want more, God. I want more. And what happened is God lets you feel what freedom feels like.
Sun into my dark night. slowly my victory. I was bound and you set me free. Now I'm alive, I'm alive. This is what freedom feels like.
Then God goes on, because now he's teaching you Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He's letting you experience that his word is alive and active, because he's making it alive and active in your life. He's causing you to understand that his word is sharper than any double-edged sword, because it's cutting, going both ways. It's cutting stuff off of your life. He begins to open up the eyes of your understanding to the fact that his word penetrates even to the dividing of your soul and your spirit and your joints and your marrow. He causes you to understand that his word is the judge. His word judges the thoughts and the intents and the attitude of your very own heart. And what is that called? It is called the good news. It is called the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Restless generation, we're turning over every stone, hoping to find salvation in a world that's left us cold. Can we get back to the altar, back to the arms of our first love? There's only one way to the Father, and he's calling out to us. To the captive, it looks like freedom. To the old man, it feels like home.
Lives, but that he's already received us into his.
In my own life, it means forgiveness when I know I deserve the fall. It called me out of my darkness and carried me to the cross. In a moment,
God love you so much. It had to bring you to the point of understanding this. That's what it's about.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you.
Oh, Lord.
I'm on my way out. I want to tell you something this morning. The love that God has for you, you individually, you, each and every one of you. It's like he's in you. He knows you. Nobody could have a greater love for you than God, Jesus, and his own Holy Spirit. There is no greater love. No greater love. And he wants you to accept it and live it joyfully.
I've been ashamed, so far from you, but you always find me. So high, so deep, is your heart for me. There's nobody else in the world that can know me. You see my words, you see my art. There's no more pretending. Yeah. You give it words and call it yours. You don't hold it against me. So high, so deep is your heart for me.
Saying, okay, okay. Well, now we up to today. God has turned you into a 21st century revolutionary through love in him. Look in the mirror and say, I'm the new revolutionary.
Maybe that doesn't mean we gotta be enemies. Maybe we just get brave, take a big leap of faith, call a truce so me and you can find the best way. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen. And we're gonna find women.
I'm turning the TV down, drowning their voices out, cause I believe that you and me can find some common ground. See, maybe I'm not like you, but I walk a mile in your shoes. If it means I might see the world the way you do. Let's take some time, open our eyes, look and listen. We're gonna find we're more alike than we are different. What would Jesus do? He would love first. He would love first. What would Jesus do? He would love first. Yeah, he would love first. We should love first.
Got it.